It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
After the U.S. shot down that Chinese balloon, it's going after the companies that may have helped make it. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. has now shot down a total of 4 unidentified flying objects since that first Chinese balloon was brought down, the pieces of which the U.S. is still trying to recover off the coast of South Carolina. In the meantime, the Biden administration is cutting off 6 balloon-related Chinese firms from U.S. technology. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here to talk about it. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
So how is the U.S. going to restrict these companies?
The Commerce Department's Bureau of Industry and Security says it's added these firms to its entity list. And if you're on that list, you can't get U.S. technology without authorization from the federal government. Commerce says the list is a powerful tool for identifying and cutting off companies that try to access global markets to, quote, do harm and threaten American national security.
And why did the Commerce Department single out these 6 entities in particular?
It says they supported China's efforts to modernize its military, specifically its aerospace programs. And that includes airships and balloons. And 5 of the 6 are Chinese businesses. One is apparently a research institute. Reuters is reporting the research institute produces sensors, and one of the companies has close ties to the Chinese military.
So what happens next? Will there be more export restrictions, you think?
Possibly. The Commerce Department says it won't hesitate to continue to use the entity list and what it calls other regulatory and enforcement tools to protect U.S. national security. So more Chinese firms could be added to the list, especially if the U.S. can tie them to the debris from the balloon that it's going to try to recover from the bottom of the ocean.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we had the Super Bowl last night, but it's a big week for Inflation Bowl 2023, consumers versus prices. We will soon find out the latest on how much we are buying and how much did it cost. The Consumer Price Index is out tomorrow, retail sales numbers coming Wednesday. The big questions are, of course, how much is inflation eating into our willingness to buy things and how much is our buying things feeding inflation? We've been getting some clues from private companies in the last couple of weeks. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Let's start with consumer staples, things like toothpaste, cleaning supplies, and other packaged goods. Brittany Quatrochi, an analyst at Edward Jones, says while consumers have been pulling back,
it's much less than what you would have expected based off of the magnitude that we've seen of those price increases.
On the other hand, we've been seeing signs that people are cutting back more on discretionary purchases. Think clothing, toys, and electronics. Mickey Chata is senior credit officer at Moody's.
Most of the retailers have discussed how the consumer is being very selective.
A lot of people are still choosing to spend more on services. Last week, Uber said revenue jumped almost 50% last quarter. But Chata says services spending could fall.
Some of that strength is going to weaken as the consumer feels a lot more stressed in terms of how much money they have in their pocket.
That said, consumers will continue to spend, Chata says, as long as the labor market stays strong. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are also up in the 1-4% range. Dow future is about flat, down just 14 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.733%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Not everyone has a job they can do remotely, but a lot of people do, and that number, unsurprisingly at this point, tripled between 2019 and 2021, according to the Census Bureau. Who really knows if it's truly here to stay, but there's some recent research suggesting the benefits are compelling enough that there's no going back, thank God, according to Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, who joins us now. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So let's start with what we've seen from companies recently. There's been a wave of recent announcements, mainly from bigger companies, mandating that workers have to come back to the office, which has been happening all year long. But how pervasive has that been, and how is that working out?
It's been very pervasive. It's not working out that well. I mean, it's come back to work, but Disney's management, 4 days a week, Apple's management, 3 days a week. Now, these managements are not saying you must come in 5 days a week. Managements have largely accepted hybrid work. And in practice, you know, the reality is workers often ignore this. Let's return to the good old days mandate.
You know, one reason given for why that works, why employees have held their ground on work from home, is because companies are desperate for workers and the labor market's really tight. If, and obviously this is a big if, but if we get another recession and the labor market sinks, is power going to shift back to the companies? And are we going to all have to trot back into the office more?
Here's the thing. Remote work is here to stay because it pays. I mean, this is the key takeaway from a recent study by a team of economists and the scholars in time savings when working from home. It draws on data from 27 countries, and they find average daily time savings from not commuting to work is 72 minutes. There's a range there from 55 minutes in the U.S. to 100 minutes in Japan. And the scholars estimate work from home will save about 1 hour per week per worker after the pandemic ends.
Yeah, I mean, employees obviously get flexibility, but I mean, what do employers really get out of being more relaxed about remote work?
Cost savings. It's a big thing. You know, remote workers might be willing to work for lower pay, reflecting the value that's put onto the benefit. Economists have documented that, look, remote workers are productive workers, so employers should relax. And remote work should help management retain employees, which is a really valuable cost savings in a tight labor market. So that said, you know, this option to work from home 1 to 3 days a week, it's really popular with all employees, but the main beneficiaries in this post-pandemic economy are going to be the better educated and better paid workers.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.